WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 62 degrees in Atlantic. It'll be sunny, breezy, and warmer today, a high around 92. Don't forget that red flag warning will be in effect for the entire listening area, beginning at 11 a.m. for dangerous fire conditions possible across the southwest and western Iowa. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, the Audubon County Sheriff's Department reported yesterday that three people had been arrested over the weekend on unrelated charges. Saturday night, 64-year-old Ada Jo Carter of Coon Rapids was arrested on an outstanding Audubon County warrant for theft in the fifth degree. The warrant was issued following an investigation into bad checks allegedly written to an Audubon County business on May the 16th. Carter was booked into the jail, appeared before the magistrate Monday morning. She did plead guilty to the charge and was fined. Sunday afternoon, 47-year-old Julie Ann Tigas of Newton turned herself in to the Audubon County authorities. Tigas had been wanted in an outstanding warrant out of Audubon County for revocation of her probation. She was placed on probation in March of last year after pleading guilty to a possession of methamphetamine second offense charge. Tigas posted bond and was released with orders to appear in court on September 17th. And earlier that same day, 33-year-old Gregory Allen Carter of Audubon was arrested on charges of OWI second offense, failure to have a valid license, and speeding. Those charges were the result of a traffic stop on Highway 71 near Hamlin. Carter was brought to the Audubon County Jail. He appeared before the magistrate and was released with orders to appear at his preliminary hearing on September 27th. News time is 8:02.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
Officials of the Cass County Democratic Party say a grand opening of its election headquarters will be held next Tuesday, September the 18th. The event and fundraiser for Iowa House candidate John Rose will feature former Iowa Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge as the keynote speaker. Rose, who is running against Republican Jack Drake from Griswold for House District 21, will also speak at the event, which runs from 5 until 6:30 p.m. on the 18th at the Democratic Party headquarters. Snacks and refreshments will be served. The public is invited to attend, and if you'd like more information, you can contact Sherry Tully at 712-243-4861. The U.S. Senate has confirmed U.S. Attorney Stephanie Rose as the federal judge in Iowa. Senators Tom Harkin and Chuck Grassley say the Senate voted 89-1 Monday to confirm Rose in Iowa's Southern District, which includes Council Bluffs, Des Moines, and Davenport. Rose was one of three candidates recommended by Harkin to replace Judge Robert Pratt, who has taken senior status. President Obama nominated her in February. Rose has served as the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Iowa since 2009. She spent over 12 years in the office as an assistant U.S. attorney. Rose received a bachelor's degree in 1994 and law degree in 1996, both from the University of Iowa. Well, a good-sized crowd turned out for Monday morning's meeting here in Atlantic of ISU Extension officials to hear what the Extension Service is offering for the future and to offer opinions on the direction the service is taking. Appearing at the meeting held at the Cass County Community Center was Kath Ann Kress, ISU Extension and Outreach Vice President, and Terry Malloy, Iowa Association of County Extension Council Executive Director. Kress told the audience and Extension Council members about four trends currently guiding the work of the Extension and Outreach Service. The first was economic development. She said their economic development programming is focused on actions to help Iowa's economy grow and prosper, in addition to enhancing the health of communities and growing businesses. She said it's also focusing on the future careers of young people. Kress said the second signature issue area that they're focusing on is health and well-being, in alliance with Governor Branstad's Healthier State Initiative. The third signature issue, according to Kress, is food and environment. And she says that focuses on local actions to produce a safe, sustainable, accessible, and affordable food supply.
And so we're interested there in supporting all segments of the food supply chain. We're looking at ways to continue to include accessibility and affordability and safety to reduce food insecurity of Iowa families. And we're also interested in ways that we can help with regard to the assessment and education on a broad scope and scale of Iowa's food system to make sure that all Iowans understand the food system and its importance to those of us in the state.
Chris said the fourth signature issue they're focusing on at ISU Extension is K-12 youth outreach through STEM. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. While STEM jobs are expected to grow by 16% this decade in Iowa, ACT test scores in 2009 indicated 50% of Iowa students were not ready for college-level mathematics study, while only 37% were ready for college-level work in the field of science. ISU Extension has been recognized by the governor's office as one of the vital STEM hubs, tasked with increasing student preparedness for entering the STEM sectors.
Our goal is to help young people to get excited about learning and discovering new career choices. We also want them to discover that there's a tremendous number of career choices for them that are high-tech, that are here in the state of Iowa, and that they don't need to leave our state. And we hope that we can encourage them to actively pursue education beyond high school and build skills that will continue to improve our communities across the state.
Afterward, during a Q&A session, Kress was asked about how the extension can help young people become aware of what goes on in the manufacturing facilities and why so-called middle-skilled workers are so desperately needed to fill those jobs. She said the manufacturers have brought that to her attention and they're working to overcome that stereotype that high-tech jobs are merely those that belong to rocket scientists or chemists.
We're really trying to make sure that we build into ours some hands-on experience for young people. So we're really looking for opportunities to create internships for those still in high school, for example, as well as those who are in the early years in college, because we think that's an important thing to get your hands on something and actually see it firsthand.
A program which will be incorporated in the STEM hub is called Into the Field, which is intended to create shorter excursions into the workforce, which instead of a whole semester-long ordeal would be for a week or so to see firsthand what it's like to work in manufacturing and what skills and education are needed. She says they're also looking at creating destination science web pages where educators, 4-H volunteers, Boy Scout leaders, and others can come and let it be known what their interests are, with the idea being to provide points of reference for manufacturing and campus visits. Kress also said there are opportunities to model some programs after what the World Food Prize organization is doing with the Youth Institute, which gives young people an opportunity to solve problems.
Where they have taken the challenge of feeding the 9 billion people that we're going to have to feed, and they have turned that over to young people and said, how do you want to solve this problem? I'd really like to see us, maybe all the STEM hubs can come together and have some other challenges like that, where we identify something that's a challenge in the state of Iowa and ask our young people to come together and help us think about solutions.
Elsewhere in local news, members of the City of Atlantic's Planning and Zoning Commission are slated to meet this evening at City Hall, and during their session, which begins at 5:30, the commission will review the subdivision sketch plan for the Atlantic West Development Park 2, Lot 1, and the site plans for the Green Acres Lawn and Landscape Building. In old business, the commission will review and discuss the first drafts of the zoning ordinance update, including R2, Low Density Single Family District, R3, High Density Single Family District, and site plan requirements. Also, members of the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will vote tonight on the board president and vice president positions for 2012-2013. The current board president is Christy Pellett, while the vice president is Dennis Davis. In other administrative matters, during their annual meeting this evening, the board will appoint a board secretary, treasurer, and legal counsel for 2012-2013. Set the date, time, and place for future regular board meetings and approve depository limits for the fiscal year 2013. During their regular session that follows, the Atlantic School Board will receive a progress report on construction of the middle school and overview of the Lindamood Bell teachers. Now, Lindamood Bell is a research-validated instructional program that teaches children and adults to read, spell, comprehend, think critically, and express language. Action items on the board's agenda include approval of an educational opportunity or EOC Center grant agreement, that is, with the area schools for 2012-2013, the first readings of various board policies, and prior to adjournment, they'll discuss capital project needs. The meeting begins at 7:30 p.m. on the Atlantic High School Media Center. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there are ceremonies today at the World Trade Center site, the Pentagon, and at Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to mark the 11th anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks. President Obama and the First Lady will attend the ceremony at the Pentagon, while Vice President Joe Biden will speak in Shanksville. There will be more of a personal remembrance in New York, with only victims' families and not politicians reading the names of those killed. Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney will address the National Guard in Reno, Nevada today. Earlier, he issued a statement marking the 9/11 anniversary, saying the U.S. will never forget those who died or stop caring for their families. He also thanked U.S. troops and warned those who would attack America that, quote, we are united, one nation under God, in our determination to stop them. Parents in Chicago are taking it day by day as teachers walk the picket line for a second day. The head of the school board says he thinks a contract agreement between the teachers' union and the school district can be reached today. But the president of the teachers' union sounds less optimistic, saying the district has not budged on the two most contentious issues. Overseas officials in Yemen say a car bomb targeting the defense minister's motorcade missed the defense minister but killed eight of his security guards. Five bystanders were also killed. No one has claimed responsibility for today's attack, which comes one day after Yemeni authorities announced the death of the second-ranking leader in Yemen's branch of al-Qaeda in an apparent U.S. airstrike. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
And in our funeral announcements, Marjorie Peterson, age 92, of Kimbleton, died Friday. Funeral services for Marjorie Peterson will be this morning at 10:30 at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Bill Westfall, age 87, of Fontenelle, died Friday. Funeral services for Bill Westfall will be today at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Robert William Young, age 83, of Walnut, died Sunday. Funeral services for Robert Young will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Sharon Brundage, age 63, of Irwin, died Friday. Funeral services for Sharon Brundage will be on Wednesday at 1:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Coach Bob Doubt, age 74, of Greenfield, died Saturday. Funeral services for Bob Doubt will be on Wednesday at 1:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Loretta Comas, age 91, of Exira, died Saturday. Funeral services for Loretta Comas will be on Thursday at 10 a.m. at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Coon Rapids. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Isla Maxine Rhodes, age 92, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Funeral services for Maxine Rhodes will be this Thursday at 11:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Martha Louise Grover, age 97, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Services for Martha Grover will be held Friday at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gerald Herrick, age 96, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Gerald Herrick will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Darlene Hansen, age 84, formerly of Elkhorn, died August 13th in Des Moines. A memorial service for Darlene Hansen will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Westminster Presbyterian Church on Allison Avenue in Beaverdale. The McLaren Rest Haven Chapel and Mortuary in West Des Moines has arrangements. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.